This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? We are doing another segment of our rookie interview series. And with us today, I'm pretty excited about this one, Stone Blanton, linebacker. The 49ers have a rich history of linebackers. I don't know if you know that, Stone, but how are you today, man? How are things?
I'm good. I'm getting ready for a wedding Friday and then flying out Sunday. So super excited.
Man, for those of you who don't know, Stone is getting married this weekend. So his NFL journey begins this week. The wedding, my wedding was stressful, but awesome. How are you balancing these two dynamic, life-changing events in the same week?
Yeah, so we planned the wedding long time ago and, you know, didn't know, you know, what was going to happen in May and stuff like that. And it ended up just being on the same weekend. And so now I get to get married on Friday, fly out on Sunday and live the dream of being married and then living my lifelong dream as a kid of going to the NFL.
Man, so how early do you have to report to Santa Clara? Like, do you have time to enjoy life with, you know, your new spouse, or is it just straight to work?
It's straight to work. So I'll get there Sunday and then go in the building Monday, get ready to work.
Man, well, congrats to you and your new family. We are excited for you. I want to talk just a little bit about, man, the draft is taking place. Your phone starts ringing like crazy. Walk us through what it was like, you know, getting all those phone calls of teams trying to get you in as an undrafted free agent, what that process was like, because there's got to be a lot of teams calling and what that looks like. Walk us through what that was like on, you know, that kind of day whenever you finally got that call to join the 49ers. Oh, we had a quick, I'll pull Stone down and pull him back up. Now, if you guys, he'll be, there he is. If y'all want to follow Stone, go over to Instagram, Stone Blanton 7. That is his Instagram if you want to follow him. So Stone, sorry about that. Walk us through what it was like getting that call from the 49ers to join them in their draft class.
Yeah, so it was, the whole day was kind of a crazy process. I was kind of a late round guy, more likely an undrafted free agent kind of deal. And, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be like, had heard some stories, like, you know, it's considered the eighth round right after the draft, all this stuff for the priority free agent guys. And it's true. Like, even in the middle of the draft, like, I was getting calls like, hey, we have an offer for you, kind of free agent deal. What do you think? And it's like, well, I mean, I don't even, the draft's not even over yet. I don't know. And then immediately after, you know, you have your agent kind of is doing the communication for you and then comes back with the deals. And so you're just kind of anxiously waiting to see what happens. And, you know, spots fill up quick. And so it's just, it's a crazy time, but I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed the moment. I was with people I loved and got to enjoy that day. So super excited when it was actually Coach Wright, KJ Wright called me, and he's a Mississippi State alum, a legend at Mississippi State, played forever in the league, Super Bowl, all the stuff. And so, you know, to have him call me to tell me that news, you know, it meant a lot to me. Just two Mississippi guys that played at Mississippi State and making it to the league.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you know this, but the second most drafted school from the 49ers history is South Carolina. And so really? Now you've got, yeah, it's oddly enough, especially this past, you know, handful of Debo and, you know, a lot of other South Carolina guys. So you're joining a rather rich, it's Stanford 1, South Carolina 2 somehow. But man, you raised in Jackson, Mississippi, you go to South Carolina, you transfer to Mississippi State. How is that going to be going all the way down to California? You're a Southern boy. And so yeah. I'm from Texas. So like I'm a Southern guy that lives in the Bay Area. Now, what's that transition going to be like for you?
So funny enough, I actually visited Stanford in high school. So I had been out there before. And then also in Southern California in Redlands, my now fiance, her family moved out there. Her dad's a preacher. He was preaching over there, got a job, and they were there for 2 years. And so I got to visit out, stay in California. I absolutely loved it. Like I couldn't get enough of the weather. The weather was amazing. And so, you know, getting out of the Mississippi heat, the humidity, all that stuff, I'm actually kind of excited for, because the weather in California is unreal. I don't think you can really beat it. And so I'm super excited about that and just kind of being able to go up there and see that side of the country, because I've been to South Carolina and now I'm going all the way to California and get to see everything in between. So
make sure you bring your jackets. Layers is the key from a Texan. Layers are important. Now, you talked about going to Stanford. You were a dynamic baseball player, and even, you know, you were playing college baseball as well. What was it like making that decision to move away from baseball, focus full time on football, and kind of what that couldn't have been easy?
No, because I actually took off, like, collegiate-wise or whatever, in high school, recruiting-wise. I committed to Mississippi State in baseball in ninth grade. And so that was – and I was playing varsity football. I had, like, two offers, but, you know, it was kind of like the potential kind of offer. And so after my sophomore year, that's when football really took off. Got a lot of offers. And then junior year, same thing. And senior year, kind of had to make a decision. And I knew I wanted to play both at the time. I wanted to give it a try. But I had a really close connection with the Mississippi State baseball coaches. And when I committed, they just won a national championship, all this stuff. And so, you know, I wanted to play both. But when you're committed in baseball, you don't really talk to other programs. And so when I was getting recruited for football teams, it's kind of like a respect thing, mutual agreement that you don't really go out and talk to the baseball coaches kind of deal. So I didn't have a great connection with the baseball coaches in South Carolina. I went there, was on the team, did a couple, you know, summer workouts kind of deal, but they wanted me to play summer baseball games, football workouts, class. And for some odd reason, I tried to be an engineer when I first got to South Carolina. And I was like, this schedule is ridiculous. Like I was waking up 7 a.m. and I was not getting home till 9 p.m. with all the stuff. And I was like, this is too much. Like, I want to play football. My main goal is to play football. I need the spring to get better, to grow. And I had never had a spring football season. So my first spring was sophomore year. And, you know, it helped me so much to just grow as a football player, grow my knowledge of the game. And so I'm really glad that I ended up choosing football, because I love football. And love hitting people, love studying the game. Baseball was more of like, I figured I was more of a hobby that I did with my buddies. And so I knew I loved football. So that's why I wanted to choose it.
Man, I love that. Now, man, choices seem to be a big deal in your past. Like you go to South Carolina, you dominate. You're a captain. You're putting up incredible numbers in the SEC. Talk to us about the process of choosing to change schools, transfer within the division. Like that's rare nowadays. Now it doesn't really happen too much. What was the choice like, and what was kind of your overall mindset in going from South Carolina to back home?
Yeah, I mean, it was the hardest decision I had to make in my playing career so far because of the relationships I had to leave at South Carolina. You know, Coach Beamer, Coach White, Coach Limbo, they all did tremendous things for me, just growing my knowledge of the game, developed me as a person and then as a player. I feel like they really built a great foundation for me. And then just the guys there I was playing with were just studs, man. We had, you know, this year was a lot of the guys I played with my sophomore year with Nick Imamori, TJ Sanders, Tonka Amiway, all those guys. And then you have O'Donnell Fortune, Bam. just, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Play with Cam Smith. He's with the Dolphins. Like, it was just a star-studded team that I got to play with. And so being able to work with those guys, be in the room with them, you know, it was really the hardest decision I've had to make. But I knew I wanted to go home because I was 8 hours away. We were playing our away games. We're nowhere closer. It was 8-10 hours for everybody else, even then. And so I wanted to play at Mississippi State. My parents graduated from Mississippi State. I was a Mississippi State fan growing up. I just had that feeling where, you know, I wanted to represent my home team if I could, and the opportunity presented itself. And so, you know, I communicated that with Coach White and Coach Beamer, and, you know, they understood and had my back in it. And we still have a relationship, you know, that's good today. So we left on good terms, and, you know, that's kind of what led to it.
That's a big deal. Leaving on good terms. It's so yeah. much of this process and, you know, jumping schools and the new transfer portal, it gets rough. And so I'd love to hear that. That's a positive. Now, you brought up Nick Emanwori, who's incredible. I don't know if you know what team he went to. He went to the Seattle Seahawks, who is like the 49ers' biggest rival. Have you guys talked? Like, what are those conversations like, man? Y'all are playing each other twice a year now.
I know. I texted him congratulations, and he kind of sent the same thing back to me. We didn't get too in-depth because, you know, he was second-round guy. He's getting blown up. So, but I look forward to seeing him, and I know he's going to do great things. I mean, that guy's a beast, works really hard, but I want to kick their ass. So.
Hell yes, man. There's nothing better than a 49ers Seahawks game. I cannot wait for you to experience that. That's going to be awesome. Yep. Now, my favorite game I watched of you so far, that Missouri game. You had 18 tackles, man. It was every other play this past year, 2024. Talk to us, like, did that game have some extra meaning to you? Were you just pissed off? Was it a bad morning? Like, what happened for you to just go Super Saiyan on the Missouri Tigers?
So it was my kind of game. I mean, it was a rough and physical kind of game. They were going to come out and they were going to run the ball. You know, they didn't throw the ball a whole lot. I think they had 16 or 17 pass attempts. We had, you know, kind of struggled as a team with the run. And so they just decided they were going to run the ball the whole game. And early in the game, I had a TFL. And it's just kind of, you know, I want to dominate when I'm out there. I want to play as hard as I can when I'm out there every single game. You know, that game just had more opportunities to make the play. But I just was doing my job, and it wasn't different than any other game. It was just doing your job, and, you know, the opportunity presented itself, and you have to execute the play. And so, you know, just had an opportunity to execute, and that's what I did.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
I love it. Now, I know you know this now. When did it realize you're going to be playing linebacker with Fred Warner, future Hall of Famer? Like, what goes through your mind when you're like, all right, this is happening. This is a reality. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, I've been watching his film since I was a freshman in college. Like, as soon as I got to college, you know, I asked Coach to make me a clip of cut-ups of Fred Warner and Darius Leonard from the Colts. And the reason I wanted to do that is because they were the best, in my opinion, at punching the ball out. And that's something that I value tremendously as a linebacker. Like, I think it takes a huge amount of skill and concentration to like, have your fist right on the ball. And so my freshman year, I started watching the film on that, seeing how they did it. But as a young freshman, when you're playing in the SEC, like, your brain's kind of rocking. You're still a little shaky on what to expect. And so you're not really present in the moment. And then sophomore year, you got more comfortable with starting, captain. And then junior year, was able to just to hone it in. And so fully present in the moment, everything kind of slows way down, and you're able to just drive your fist right into the ball. And so, you know, I think he's going to be the best, if not the best, ever do it once he's done. And so I've already watched a ton of his film. I've got my iPad, and I've literally just watched all the guys there with, you know, Fred going first, and seeing it, the way he's just moving on the field is unreal. So I can't wait to watch him work.
Now, just a little tip, as somebody's been out to all the training camp practices, Fred Warner forces his linebackers to do juggling drills. I'm not joking. In the middle of practice, you got to juggle. So I'm just saying, I don't know if you can juggle, but start working on juggling. Get some fruit, start tossing around, because he's going to make you do it. I promise you that. He's big on that. Now, the 49ers of Robert Saleh, his linebacker track record is unbelievable. Azeez Al-Shaair, Jamion Sherwood, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. What does it mean to be chosen, handpicked by Robert Saleh coming back? And, man, seeing guys like Azeez go from undrafted free agent to one of the top paid players in the NFL, team captain, all those things. Like, the path has been set for you. But that's pressure comes with that. So how do you handle – you got picked by the best linebacker. Johnny Holland's one of the greatest linebacker coaches in the history of the league. Like, you're stepping into some really cool situations right now. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I think it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to me. You know, learning from the best and training with the best. You don't want anything else besides that. I think it brings out a whole other side of competition and edge and just being able to compete every day. And you see such great linebackers and you have such great insight on how things should be done. There is no guesswork. It's these guys are the best. This is how it should be done. This is what you're going to do. If you don't do it, get out. You know, that's something I love and look forward to. You can see just watching film. I'm not even there. Just watching film. The way they move is so technical, and they have such a flow, and you can tell they're coached that way because they all move very similar. And so I just, you know, I can't wait to get there and learn from them. It means the world to get a chance to go out there and play with them.
Ah, I love you talking film already. You know, whenever I watch the tape, linebackers, one of my favorite positions. I coached for a while, but like, I coached linebackers when I start. You tell when guys watch tape. And so the fact that you brought up film two or three times already in this interview, I'm just telling you, 49ers fans are very excited to hear that. Now, your leadership, team captain, on and off the field, what is your approach in the locker room and the huddle, how you handle teammates? What would you say is your leadership style? Now, you're coming as a priority free agent, but what are some of your leadership techniques and kind of how you lead by example, or are you more of a vocal guy out there on the field?
I think it comes with confidence. You know, freshman year, it's all about gaining trust of your teammates. I'll just do college because that's kind of the experience I've had to this moment. But freshman year, you know, you just gain the trust of your teammates. You find an older guy to connect with that kind of shows you the way, shows you the right way, and just find that. And then, you know, do what he does and mold it to what you do and create a routine based off of that. And then, you know, if there's team events, you go to them. You're always trying to be around your teammates. You don't sit by yourself. Don't have headphones in. Like, really just try to communicate with the guys around you, because those are your brothers that you're going to be going to war with. And so you need to get to know them. So, you know, if you don't have trust on the football field, you're not going to succeed. If you don't have trust off the field, then you're probably not going to have great trust on the field. And so, you know, you want to be a person that they can depend on off the field and on the field. I think that translates very well. And so just doing team activities together, eating together, sharing a meal, watching film together, just, you know, stuff that just builds a camaraderie of teammates that are willing to do anything for each other, I think is really important. And that's a culture, you know, I love and want to be a part of. And I feel like the 49ers, just the way people talk about them, like they have that brotherhood kind of mentality. And so that's just kind of my goal. And then as confidence continues, like sophomore year, I was starting in the off season. So I began to be a little bit more vocal, but you know, I knew I wasn't the top dog, so I'm never going to, you know, over bark. But you lead by example by then. And once you have the confidence and trust from your teammates, you can start leading by example. They understand you're a guy they can look at. And then junior year, you know, I'm full on energy kind of psycho, but that just came with confidence and more trust and stuff like that. So, you know, I feel like it's kind of the same process for me with a new team. Came to Mississippi State new, and was able to be a captain by August. So just coming in, gaining trust, building confidence in myself and building confidence from my teammates and stuff like that.
I love that. And, you know, one of the ways you build trust as a rookie, it doesn't matter what position or where you're drafted, special teams. That is the pathway to the 53-man roster for almost any rookie. So talk to us just about, man, what your approach, special teams, linebackers, why you were picked. Special teams is why you get a hang around usually. Talk to us about like your emphasis and kind of where you see that going and what your approach on special teams is going to be.
Yeah, so I had one of the greatest special teams coordinators in college football. We were number one my freshman year. I think number two my sophomore year in the country in special teams. He emphasized it. He was a psycho about technique and steps and all this stuff, like trying to be perfect. And I'm so glad I had that experience with him because I didn't play, you know, special teams nearly as much my junior year just because I was on the field a little more. But South Carolina played a lot of special teams. And so when I came in freshman year, my goal was, hey, I need to get with Coach Limbo. I need to make sure I'm doing my steps right. I need to make sure I'm on his good side because that's the way I make the travel roster. Like the 75-man roster is who goes to away games. And I was like, I have to get on that. And my way to get on that is on special teams. And so, you know, my goal was to get in there and just do my best in the drills, work as hard as I can. And what I noticed is if you're really smart on defense, then you can also probably – that carries over to special teams. Like they're going to be like, okay, this guy's really smart on defense. He's going to be really smart on special teams. So I learned defensive playbook really fast. They trusted me, gave me more reps on special teams, and just kind of worked my way progressively from there. And so that's just kind of my goal is just be really smart, be technical, be coachable, and just go to work every single day because I know, you know, nothing's guaranteed.
Wow. I love it. Now, we're going to be wrapping this up shortly, and you've been so gracious with your time. We're very thankful. Can you let us know a mentor, teacher, coach, something along those, somebody that's helped you get to where you are? We always want to highlight the positive behind the scenes that don't always get the recognition. So somebody in your life that, whether it's football, academics, family, doesn't matter, that we could kind of highlight just as, hey, this is somebody that made a big difference in your life.
Can I do three?
You could do five.
So I got, they're all going to be coaches. I'm just going to stick to the coaching route because they've meant the world to me on the field, off the field, and then just progressing me as a person and a player. But you have Trey Money, who was my GA and linebacker coach at South Carolina. And when I tell you he put in some extra hours with me, he went the extra mile. Freshman year, we were meeting like crazy. He took a lot of time out of his day to teach me because Coach White was linebacker coach, but he was also the DC. So, you know, he has a full plate there. But Trey Money, he really taught me all the details. Like I was sleeping in the facility during fall camp. He's waking up early with me, staying late after fall camp was done at like 8, 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, he kind of made my foundation very strong as a freshman in college, which just allowed me to create routines for myself that have carried on to now. And then Coach White, you know, with his guidance, his coachability, like he coached me to be a very smart, instinctive linebacker. You know, he loved instincts. I had those and he just kind of fine tuned it. And so I love the way he let me play. And then my last one is Coach Hutzler at Mississippi State. And that dude's just a psycho. And he kind of brought out the psycho in me. And so I loved him for that because it made me play with such aggression and confidence that I needed to kind of, that's where I needed to kind of jump in my game. Was just having that aggressive psycho mentality. I've always had it, but it just kind of comes with confidence. And he instilled it. He let it free and we had a great relationship and he taught me a lot. He would rip my ass when I messed up, but he would also, you know, love me when it was time to love. So, you know, we had a great relationship there and those three guys have meant a lot in my personal journey and then also my football journey.
Man, I love it. It doesn't matter if you're GA or DC. The impacts are huge. No matter where you are in life, whether you're watching or listening to this, you can affect people in a positive way. Just put the time in. That's huge. So, Stone, last question. What is it that you want the faithful? That's what we call the 49ers fans here, by the way. So just so you know that one. What do you want the faithful to know about you heading into your rookie year that perhaps they don't, so that whenever they see Stone Blanton, I don't know if you're wearing number 7 or not, if that's going to change. But when they see you out there, what do you want them to know about you?
It's going to be a guy that's going to do whatever he can to stick. I want to be a guy that can stick and do this thing. I know how much, you know, time that I'm going to put into it. That's not shown on cameras. That's not shown, in the video boards or on Instagram or whatever. You know, I like to work when people get tired. That's kind of my philosophy during conditioning, film work when it's fall camp, people are tired, they try to go home. That's when I love to work. I feel like that's when I thrive, is when everybody else is kind of clocking out or getting tired. Because everybody's really excited the first day, but you know, who's excited 4 weeks in the road? That's what matters to me. And so that's when I try to rise, is when people start getting tired, and that's what kind of player I am. So I'm excited to show the people, you know, they won't get to see that side, but that's kind of who they're getting. And that's what I strive to be. So
I love it, man. This dude's getting married in like a couple of days. Thank you so much for being gracious with your time. We can't wait to support you and be out there rooting for you. Stone, we're excited to follow the journey. You ever need anything from us? Anything before we jump out of here? Anything, last words before we say goodbye?
No, thank you for having me. This was awesome. I appreciate you welcoming me into the Niner family. So
that's what's up. And for everybody at home, man, once we get that Stone Blanton jersey out there, I'm curious to see the number. Can't wait for that. But that's going to do it for us here. Stone, have a great rookie season. And for everybody else, stay strong, faithful.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.